Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. Available now for pre-order, Adam's 6th book. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. Big Leader Mandate. Get on. Welcome to the best hour show in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus in studio.
Loving it. Boy, it's a full house today here, isn't it?
I know. It's got
and
a,
by the way,
ebb and a flow.
I feel like I'm very conscious of the TV behind me. You know why?
Mm.
Rumor has it. Gary, is this true?
There may have been an incident.
Mm. Awesome Dawson?
Yeah.
With a little breakage?
Broke the TV.
You break it, you buy it? Is that the rule of Corolla Studios or not?
That seems to be the one that applies to Dawson. I've had many instances in my life where the person broke it and then didn't buy it. I ended up buying it, but Dawson came right through. Now,
that's the kind of guy that Dawson is.
Yeah, I agree. It's a character thing. The thing that's always funny, I let somebody film a movie at my house once and for free.
And why would you do that? Was it somebody you knew?
Yeah, I kind of knew him, and I said, fine. And when I got back, a carpet that they had moved had a big, huge tear in the middle of it. It was a brand new carpet. They like moved it and they tore it. Listen, you can let someone shoot at your house and they'll do that thing where they go, you'll never know we're here. Uh-huh. And you'll be pulling gaffer's tape off the fucking ceiling for the next 9 years. Believe you me. When people are done, they have a completely different mentality.
Get the hell out.
They broke a bunch of shit. They're assholes. But anyway, the point is, at some point, I said, hey, there's this brand new carpet I got. You tore it down a half. Like, I think you got to replace it. And they went, oh. So here's what I like. I like it. Think about it as a lawyer. They go, we never did it. We never did that. And I go, well, look, you moved the carpet, and it's got a big tear in it, and I never touched it. So obviously you did do it. We didn't tear it. It was fine. And then at some point they go, okay, we'll pay for half. And it's like, well, why would you pay for half if you didn't touch it? Like, what if you're walking out of the Trader Joe's and someone accused you of denting in the side of their Range Rover and you went, I didn't touch your car. Okay, you know what?
I'll pay for half.
I'll pay for half. I say it's admittance of guilt. How say you?
That's a adoptive admission. Right. I'll tell you. It's actually an offer in compromise. Some people would say a remedial action that shows a little guilt.
I knew you could put your own flavor on this.
Flavor.
Professional flavor.
Right. Well, you know, there's so many stories, but I know which one interests you the most. Because I was taking a look. I thought Yale would interest you, but the kind of the flavor of the day, because the New York Times has been taking a beating as of late. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
And I guess the only reason the LA Times isn't taking a beating is nobody reads it or can find it.
Right.
But I mean, they talk about the smallest footprint of a major metropolitan paper that ignores everything that's happening in Los Angeles. Welcome to the El Segundo Times. But the New York Times has been taking a beating on the opinion pages and some of the other stuff. And most recently, I guess it was yesterday, was it not, Gary? Was it yesterday's Times?
I believe so, yes.
Where they kind of buried this kind of admission that maybe it turns out that Hunter Biden's laptop did – the emails actually may have been true or accurate or not, you know, manufactured.
Authenticated is the word I was seeing a lot.
Yeah. And by the way, on the same day, I thought this was interesting. I don't think this is a coincidence. I think this was done purposefully. It was done the same day as he conceded or his team conceded that he paid $1 million to the IRS. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that also.
Well, the headlines. So here's the dance. If you're the New York Times, the first dance is ostensibly omission, commission, lying, cover for whoever you would like to see in office. So, you know, 2 weeks before the election, the surprise comes out with the Hunter Biden laptop. Now the Hunter Biden laptop, if you are thinking, well, so the guy had a drug problem. He liked the hookers, a lot of dick pics. He was doing a lot of
drugs. By the
way,
when I was single, I would have hung with Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have any doubt? Hunter? I mean, first of all, he's obviously a chick magnet. I mean, the guy's good looking. He's judging by the videos, he's having a hell of a time. Nice. I mean, right? And by the way, I always say, don't hate on a guy for having fun. But anyway, go on.
No, I'm with you. And I'm very much, you know, your personal life's your personal life.
Right.
And if you got an addiction issue, my heart goes out to you and so on and so forth. But the problem is the other stuff on the laptop is a lot of deals. Deals with the Ukraine, Russia, China, kicking 10% off, carving 10% off for the big guy and all that kind of stuff. And his former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, did a deep form interview with Tucker Carlson, and he was like, yeah, I met Joe Biden. Yeah, he was there. Yeah,
we talked about this in real time.
They were doing deals, and Joe Biden was getting on Air Force Two and going to the Ukraine and flying with Hunter, and they were cutting deals with, you know, Ukrainian energy companies. Like, so optically,
and I will tell you, I questioned at the time, and I don't know if I was played or not played, but I will tell you what my memory is, number one, and my reaction now is, if you fast forward. At the time, I thought, and I may have said it on the show, I may have said, you know, the provenance gives me pause.
That well, it's Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani, exactly. Right. That of all the people, this guy turns over the computer, that he finds Rudy Giuliani's lawyer or Rudy Giuliani. I just thought that the whole thing sounded just beyond. I mean, it sounded like I had gone into, you know, La La Land. But now, if it appears, as it appears, that there is that the provenance does go and has been confirmed, or at least is starting to be. People are asking questions. And read exactly, Gary, what the Times said yesterday, because I don't want to get it. I want to hold them to what they said, and then hopefully we'll circle back to what I think you're most interested in, was the letter that was signed by the 50 intelligence people, right?
I find it to be the most sort of insidious slash dangerous part of this stuff. Like, I was talking on ACS and somebody said, do you really think those holy rollers who are on late night TV, televangelists, trying to get money, trying to bilk money from old women, do they really believe in God? And my answer is, I don't know, but I don't really care because that doesn't affect me. But when the head of the CIA and the FBI start making declarations, that affects us.
Well,
and that's where I take umbrage. But you can do the
Gary.
I can paraphrase the article. Then so what it is the New York Times comes out against the laptop 2 weeks before and calls it Russian disinformation. Now, not because they investigated it, but because they wanted to see Joe Biden elected, and that's who they endorse. I've said it a million times: don't endorse candidates. You know why you shouldn't endorse candidates? Because you guys endorse Joe Biden. Then a story comes out that would be it would be negative to Joe Biden. And then you guys are going to report on it?
Well, this is what I don't understand. I'm sorry, Gary. You look.
Oh, I have the quote, the exact quote.
What
if
is
you guys
the
want.
Exact quote? Because I think we'll be accurate whereby it doesn't seem others want to be.
The reporters referenced emails, quote, obtained by the New York Times from a cache of files that appears to have come from a laptop abandoned by Mr. Biden in a Delaware repair shop, unquote, adding that they, quote, were authenticated by people familiar with them and with the investigation, unquote.
Is that and what paragraph was that in the story?
Right? I'd have to count
20.
Yeah,
it's deep.
Oh, see, you went deep on this story.
You got to listen to AM Talk Radio because they'll lay it all out. Now, the thing about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the laptop, everyone else finds out a year and a half later if you watch CNN. But I always tell you, I knew this shit a year and a half ago because I'd watch Tucker Carlson and they're interviewing his business partner. And they're interviewing a guy named Tony Bobulinski, and he's completely accurate. Like, you can see, it's like, we got on the plane, we met at this hotel, then Joe came in, and we sat down, and we had a dinner, and then Joe had to leave early. Like, it's very detailed. It's very businesslike. What do you think's going on with Hunter Biden? I mean, what does he know about Ukrainian energy? What does he know about solar panels in China? I mean, he's being courted by all these companies because his last name is Biden and his dad swings influence. His dad makes 200 grand a year. Where did he get the three houses? Like, where's all this money coming from? It's pretty patently obvious. So when I saw Bobulinski being interviewed, I was like, okay, that's their business. Then the laptop came out, and that was 2 weeks before the election. And then the apparatus was activated. And the apparatus is New York Times and CNN and MSNBC and even USA Today and, you know, things that are supposed to be a little more toward the middle, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, the network news. They all mobilized to call it Russian disinformation based on nobody examining any part of the laptop or the story. So then they mobilized, they kind of crushed it. And then the letter came in from the 50, you know, former security
right.
experts.
This is the one you should talk about because this caught my attention today because it really is somewhat I think I told you or one of the shows I'd done from Utah in January, I was there and it became apparent in the trial that we were doing in Utah that there was that the CIA was involved in this case of this biodiesel fuel situation. And mm-hmm. we had Clapper involved, I think, and we had the ex-wife who's now dead, what's her name, of a former CIA guy. And they were running around going to Turkey, meeting at the peninsula, you know, getting large payments or trying to influence. It really was, you know, I'm reading this stuff, I'm doing cross-examination, I'm saying to myself, wow, this is really kind of a very dirty business and a very kind of mercenary business in a lot of ways. And so then I see this, somebody had recirculated yesterday the letter that was sent, which was right before the election?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And describe it.
Well, statistically, it's interesting.
It was October 19th, 2020.
Yeah, no, it was basically an October surprise where 50 people, high-ranking, for, you know, kind of unimpeachable, impeccable resumes in the intelligence community coalesced in a critical mass to say it was Russian disinformation.
Yeah, well, they'll do it. Has all the earmarks of, right. You know, they'll right. sort of phrase it that way.
Right, in a way that you can say, you know, with spycraft.
I'm interested in this thought that popped in my head when I was talking to Drew. Now, so just so you people know, they did a polling of Biden voters, mm-hmm. and they said to them, if you'd known about this son and
I saw that
and what's going on Burisma Energy and Ukraine, and if you'd had an idea about all this stuff, would it have changed your vote? And 1 in 6 said yes.
Yeah, it was. You're right. 1 in 6. Right.
So I can't. You know, that's a substantial look in a very close election. That makes a difference. So these people mobilize, but. You know, here's an interesting thought for you, Mark.
Trying to find it. I'm not ignoring it. I'm trying to find something.
Gary has the list.
I can give you the five top names on that list if you're interested. Jim Clapper, former director of National Intelligence. Mike Hayden, former director of Central Intelligence Agency. Leon Panetta, former director, Central Intelligence Agency. John Brennan, former director, Central Intelligence Agency. And Thomas Finger, former deputy director of National Intelligence for Analysis.
Right. So here's the scam. And by the way, if you got hold of me 5 minutes ago and said, hey, what do you think of experts? I'd go, what do you mean? What do you think? They're experts. Not anymore. These are experts. These are the as high up the food chain as you can get. The ruse is they compose this letter, they sign this letter, then they give the information out to everyone. And then when Biden is being interviewed or debating or whatever, he'd go, well, what are you talking about? I got a letter here with 50 of the most respected security agents ever who signed it. So next subject. That's how the system now works.
It's exactly right. I'm telling you, it's hard to believe how naive you can be, one can be. I feel like I've been hoodwinked, you know, multiple times by expecting or giving the benefit of the doubt to a outlet just because of who the outlet is. Does that make sense? You give them an inherent you suspend your usual critical thinking just because it's coming from a certain outlet.
Both directions. You go,
yes, yeah.
You know, Rudy Giuliani says this thing's authentic. Oh, please, that guy, come on. And then you go, James Clapper says no. And then you go, oh, yeah, that guy, come on. He's former CIA guy. Here's the thing that's interesting, Mark, as a psychological experiment.
I just found what I was looking for. It's, let's see if I've got it here, because I've been looking. It's James Woosley, who was headed the CIA and and held a variety of government positions in the 70s and 80s, and he headed the CIA from 93 to 95. Front and center, by the way, in this trial we did, and his now wife, who's now deceased, taking meetings, foreign countries involved, Turkey involved, all kinds of nefarious things. And it was mind-boggling to me as somebody who thought, you know, there are certain lines you don't cross, these were.
Well, anytime you get a look behind the curtain, it's like the FBI, the CIA, it's like going into walking into the kitchen of a Mexican food restaurant. Like, it's all great outside. You got the guy strumming the guitar. You got the flowers
my
and everything.
Brothers,
go to the kitchen and take a peek around.
My brother's,
that's what it feels like.
My brother's late father-in-law, George, was before he bought a boating or yachting place in the marina, had owned a sanitation garbage collection mm-hmm. place on the east side, and he would refuse to go to Chinese restaurants to eat with the family. Mm-hmm. And we'd say, why? Well, let's go to New Moon or let's go. He says, no, I pick up the garbage from those places. It's not going to happen.
So
same principle.
Yeah. So Now, here's an interesting concept. It's a psychological concept, but I'm curious what you think. I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier today, and we're talking about all this crazy stuff. You know, we've been hearing a lot of the news and stuff, and these so-called experts who are FBI, CIA. He said they never apologize. They never go back and go, I was wrong, and apologize. And I said, but I want to know what you think of this concept. I said, when you make a mistake and you're wrong, you apologize. We've all done it. That's the business. You're in the business of sort of dispatching information. You're going to have the Keebler factory. One out of every 13 cookies is broken. It doesn't mean they're bad. It's just that's the conveyor belt is moving that fast. You know what I mean? That's how the news works. It's fluid. You misreport. You're wrong. You go back and you go, I got to fix this or clarification, whatever. But when you're lying, you don't go back and do it. Because you weren't wrong, you were lying. These guys weren't incorrect. They were lying. And that's why you don't go back.
You know, it's interesting. And then I'm going to move, I'll tease this, go into the commercial, because I think it's chapter 4 in Mistrial is entitled, Being a United States Attorney Means Never Saying You're Sorry. It wasn't my quote. I quoted James Eidman, who was a very well respected federal district court judge here in L.A., used to be an L.A. Superior Court judge. I tried my first jury trial in front of him. And I would expand yours that you're lying. There, I would say that sometimes your status makes it so that you think you're impervious from ever apologizing. But hold on. Great. I'll get your thought on that right after Audible. 2022 is about making positive change. Audible, your destination for wellness, inspiration, to create new goals, unwind, or simply be entertained. Enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. By the way, you can read Mistrial on Audible, Chapter 4, we just talked about. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Get that. You could take Don't Do My Best, Do Your Best.
Wait a minute. Is that a book I wrote?
No.
I
would say, but wait a second.
In 50 years, we'll all be chicks.
There but hold go. On. But look at this. Oh, yeah. Don't and then, by the way, you have to be in the studio to see what we're talking about. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from the catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.co/RD, Gary. Is that right?
That is exactly right. Audible.co/RD.
Or text RD to 500-500. That's audible.co/RD or text RD to 500-500. So I think that I would expand to say not just liars. I mean, there's a certain amount of delusional.
I'm saying it's a tell, though.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
People get something wrong and it was just they muffed it. You know what I mean? Like you do that with a statistic or what Dodger hit the most home runs in one season you're on. And then at some point you find out, you'll circle back and go, hey, I was wrong. Because there's nothing attached to it. You were just wrong.
Right. It was lying, like I was saying Clapper when I meant Woosley. So, yeah.
When you're exactly. lying, you have to hang on to it because you were lying. You can't go back and fix
and
that
it
in
up.
Your mind.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But that also requires a little bit of self-reflection. And there are certain kind of jobs that either attract or develop or amplify people's lack of self-reflection.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, next subject.
You know, I'm very interested in this Yale Law School thing, Gary. You want to kind of bring us up to speed?
Yeah, so there was a protest where more than 120 Yale students protested in support of the LGBTQ community at a March 10th Federalist Society event where Christian Wagner, who's the general counsel for the conservative rights group Alliance Defending Freedom, was speaking. She represented the bakery in their fight to not have to be forced to make the cake for the gay couple at the Supreme Court.
All right.
She's lobbied on in front of the court several times.
Yeah.
So basically,
that's the Masterpiece Cake Baker out of Denver?
I believe so, yes.
So if I understand correctly, we're at Yale Law School, which is perennial number one or number two ranked law school in the country, which is a feeder school, so to speak, for clerks at the U.S. Supreme Court, which is, I think, you can name all kinds of people who both current and former U.S. Supreme Court justices who are Yale grads.
Absolutely.
And has a spectrum. I think that Clarence Thomas was a Yale grad, and I think both Bill and Hillary Clinton were Yale grads and quite a few others. And if I understand correctly, because I saw something today also, that it wasn't just a disturbance, that the was a shout down. Mm-hmm. So loud that classes or classrooms nearby were affected.
And this was during the reading before the panel, the reading of the university's policy on free speech.
Right. They were angry at the people who defended the Masterpiece Cake Baker, who was a Christian guy, who the whole story – I do a joke about this in my act, so I'm caught up.
Well, we haven't done a live show recently, so I feel bad. Or one that I recall. And by the way, you're not live streaming recently, so.
I will. The Masterpiece Cake Baker is the guy who's, I don't know, Christian. I don't know what his values were, but he's a religious guy. And the gay couple, evidently, he baked stuff for them. No problemo, but when they wanted a cake for their wedding, he said, I can't do that because of my faith. And they can't go across the street to Vandy Camps. Who would want to live in that fucking hellhole? Who would want to live in that hellscape of a world, right? So they
as a no sugar guy, this is something that is outside of my expertise or world. I mean, the idea of going to a bakery and having somebody bake something for me is just it's not in my top 100.
I concur, but
apparently this is
him.
A thing.
Now they sued him, and then a straight couple, because once they started suing him, then all the crusaders had to get involved. So then a straight couple came in and they wanted him to bake them a cake for their son that was transitioning into their daughter. Now, I don't know if they really wanted that or they just wanted another lawsuit. And then, of course, the guy said, I can't do that either. And then they sued him as well. And it went, like, I don't know, up to the...
It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
Yeah, absolutely. That's where this panelist, Kristen Wagoner, that's where she defended them, was in the Supreme Court. And she's spoken in front of the court on several cases. She's an accomplished person.
So if you're from Yale and you're thinking about getting involved with the law, this might be an interesting person to listen to.
Well, apparently no. Apparently, what you do is, I mean, this sounded like it was almost, can I call it a riot? I know that we can't use the term riot anymore for various things, mm-hmm. but it sounds like it was a verbal riot. And this is the first thing I thought about before we even talk about just Judge Silberman and his kind of counterbalance. Can you imagine? There are so many times when I've sat in a courtroom and I've had to endure my opposing counsel. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've described to you before, the hardest thing for a lawyer, in my opinion, next to waiting for a jury verdict, but harder is after in a criminal case where you're the defense lawyer, you only get one closing argument. Then you got to listen to the prosecutor's reply. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got to sit there. And there's nothing you can say. You don't get to get back up. You got to just take it. It's like a fight with Paulette, and then you've been muzzled, and you can't even talk. Yeah. And I know.
And it is everything's inaccurate. Everything's hyperbole. And
you got to just take it. I want to – okay, so now is this the new normal? I get to just start yelling, nah, 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 I don't want to hear you. I don't want to listen to you. I'm not – shut up. I mean, is that really – this is what we're training the number one or two school in the law school in the country?
It's unthinkable.
Yesterday when I was talking with Gary, bring it full circle, and then I can hear your thought.
Do we have any clips? There's clips of that out there.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Screaming. The point is were not inviting, I mean, to the campus, you are inviting people that are have legal minds and legal scholars who may differ from you, and that should be intentional, because if they thought exactly how you thought, then we wouldn't need them to come to campus. You'd just find a mirror or put a trash can over your head and hear the echo of your own voice. The whole purpose is to introduce some thoughts that you may not be having, and you won't tolerate that.
By the way, does anybody understand what the law is? I mean, it's a dialectic. It's supposed to be a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis.
Another clip to look for, Gary, but did you see the ladies of The View, like, wanting Tucker Carlson locked up?
I did not see.
He should be put in jail. Like, this is the correct, first off, this is not progressive, people. If you think you're being a libertarian or progressive, calling for people to be locked up or shouted down who disagree with you.
Well, the Judge Silberman sent over a memo, and this kind of amplified or escalated the controversy, where he said that maybe these clerks should not be considered, if they are clerks or applying for clerks, if they were part of this rabble-rousing, you know, we're not going to hear the other side. Now, you could say, well, that's cancel or this or that. Look, there is something fundamentally wrong with somebody who is at an institution, not only an institution of higher learning, but you've signed up for a law school education, which by its very definition is a dealing with controversies and cases where there are opposing and it's an adversarial system. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like, on one hand, I feel like I'm 180 years old. Like, okay, old man, with your old ways. But it's like me. I feel like a personal trainer going, you want to lose weight? Diet and exercise. All right, that's what my grandpa did. It's like, yeah, but your grandpa was thin. You're fat ass and you're dumb. Like, what? Oh, but that's the old way of doing it, grandpa. It's like, yeah, but is it going to go out of style? Debate and challenge and ideas?
And by the way, I don't mind, you know, there's a movement to be more civil in the law and to be more. How does this comport with the other movement in the law, which is the civility and the idea that you're supposed to be civil? How does shouting people down, causing a ruckus where you can't even hear, where you can't engage in ideas which aren't yours? And by the way, what is the matter with hearing ideas that aren't yours? What's the downside to that?
I think the problem is, honestly, and it's going to lead to a bigger problem that I think Mark will vibe on, which is you need muscle. You need gravity. You need to push back.
Resistance.
Right. We've screwed up our immune system because everyone's Purell and everything's getting wiped down and sanitized, and all the kids have fucking allergies and hay fever now because they didn't get exposed for something for their immune system to fight against, to push, to strengthen itself. You know what I mean?
I know exactly. By the way, read, and why people think this only works for certain organs of the body. Gary's going to play it in a sec. Before he does, I'll just say, everything you read about fitness is that resistance exercise, when you get to a certain age, at virtually any age, but certainly as you age, is the one thing that will not only increase your quality of life, but to save you. I mean, that's the whole idea.
Everything, look, I've said it a million times. You go to outer space, you stay in the space station for 6 months, you lose your mass, your bone muscle mass and all the thing. You lose it immediately, because there's no resistance. You're floating around.
Exactly. So, the body requires, it's a physical law, it's a biological basis. And this whole idea that somehow that doesn't work for the brain?
Well, you look at it this way. First off, you know, the Ben Shapiros or the Dennis Prager's, they'll go on anyone's show and debate them about anything. But it's not a two-way street. Their counterparts on the CNN will not come on. You want to debate Ben Shapiro? No, you don't. All right, that's my point. Now, why is it? Well, he is not an alpha on top of the food chain who's sleeping in the middle. That's where the lions sleep, in the middle of the Serengeti. Everyone else is in a tree. They just stretch out in the middle of the field, go, you want to fuck with us? We're taking a nap. But you get the strength from knowing that people are going to take umbrage with your ideas. They're going to challenge you. Everything that comes out of your mouth is going to be challenged. You have to be ready to, with a retort and a strategy and all that. You remove that, then you just go down bad idea highway and you just keep gaining speed.
And by the way, here's a thought experiment for you, since nominally we're a legal show. If you want a lawyer, are you looking for a lawyer who's going to like shout at the other side, not listen to the other side, not understand what the other side's arguments are, not anticipate what those are, not be able to kind of think on their feet or pivot or be fluid?
Well,
is that what you want?
I'll do you one better. You want one that settles outside the courtroom all the time and never goes into the courtroom to experience that gravity?
Yeah.
All right, we have a clip, I guess.
Gary, where'd you find this?
It's on YouTube. It's somewhat anticlimactic, but I can play some of it for you guys.
Okay.
You just call your own out.
And then you got to find the view.
Working on it.
I showed up. I got signs. They're all wearing masks, which, of course, we know.
It's the first telltale
first
sign.
Tell.
I'm not a girl. What?
Are you the one who sent the crap house?
No, I didn't send a trap house email. He did. He sent the trap house.
Everyone, you know, I've never seen more angry 19-year-olds in my life. When I was 19, everyone was happy.
God, it's so true.
First off, I love the idea that all roads lead to trans kids.
But I don't understand. Wait, then you got to show, it was running around the internet today, the three swimmer picture. Yeah, you got to show that because we'll end with that and have other people's heads explode. I was never in a law school classroom that remotely resembled that. That was a free-for-all, for lack of a better term. What was that? What does that accomplish? And explain to me why shouting down the people is a good forum for the exchange of ideas.
It's the opposite of your training or what you need, like a skill set. It'd be like me saying, I run a peewee football camp for young kids, young Pop Warner football players. And then at some point, I'd usher them in a room that had nothing but beanbag chairs and ice cream. And I'd go, all right, here we go. And they go, this is the training. You know what I mean? Like, that's the opposite.
Right. It's the opposite of what you are. And by the way, I guarantee you, anybody who's listening to this who may disagree, then I invite you to pick, as you say, the lawyer by whether they run away from any kind of adversity. Is that what you want?
Yeah, I think our friend Harmeet Dhillon would show up on any show.
Anywhere you go. One of the reasons I love Harmeet is for that very kind of, I'll engage no matter what. She's not afraid to engage intellectually or otherwise. Plus, she's got a great wit and she knits well.
I think every one of those sweaters she wears on TV is one that she knitted.
I've got, by the way, I've got two caps. One that's almost as blue as your outerwear there, which she knits out of cashmere. They're very handy.
Really?
Yes. Wow. I've got a Harmeet. I've got both a Harmeet and a Hompig knit caps. I feel very
She knitted
blessed.
You a cap.
She knitted me a cap.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can see if we can find that view clip.
Wait, this one is making the rounds today. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Gary, you want to do a little background on this?
Yeah, this is from the NCAA female swimming championship. And on the far left there is your winner, your national champion. And there's some understandably frustrated parents of the other two athletes there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, I believe Caitlyn Jenner commented, I know, not in this context, but in other contexts, Nancy Lieberman, who's a friend, the one of the greatest female basketball players of all time, has commented in other contexts. It's amazing to me how the disconnect between – you take somebody like Caitlyn Jenner, who at one point won the decathlon –
set the record.
Set the record. And you take somebody like Nancy Lieberman, who is one of the greatest athletes to ever play basketball, women or men's. And they've got a real problem with this.
Well,
and you know, God forbid that you put this up and had Dave Chappelle comment on it. They they'd shut down Netflix for the next year.
She, the swimmer, transgendered swimmers, now has her sight set on the Olympics.
Correct.
So that's going to, we're going international with this shit. And it's not stopping at the at our border. It is, it's not an Ivy League thing anymore. It's going international. And we're going to have to address it. And we can't just sort of go, oh, she says, he says, they say, you know, which is a weird thing. Now, I don't know if this swimmer, and I can't remember her name, I think still has their genitalia and male parts on him.
Her.
Sorry.
Leah Thomas.
Right. Leah Thomas,
okay,
yeah.
So the problem...
When I tried that case 4 years ago and I said it, I got chastised repeatedly by the judge. So
look, here's...
You say it one more time, Mr. Garrigus, I'm going to issue a contempt citation.
Here's the deal with really progressive stuff. Really progressive stuff sounds good, but it ends up kind of punishing the people who you claim to care most
about.
Yeah,
it's the law of unintended consequences. Yes, it's the boomerang effect.
The gas at $7 a gallon doesn't really punish you and I, but the gardener who's driving his truck loaded up with gear, the poor Mexican gardener who's coming to our house to do the gardening, that guy's getting punished.
Although there is a – one of the things I kind of like is I've noticed less of the goddamn leaf blower in the mornings. So, yeah. You know, there are some good things. So,
all right. Now, who is this on?
And by the way, it was, you know, Shell station on Angeles Crest this morning – diesel $6.49, premium $6.39.
Oh, it's good. It's up. So this is, I'm not sure who on The View, but you want to talk about zero diversity of opinion.
I believe this person's name is Mary Catherine Hamm, and she was announced at the beginning of this clip as the new co-host.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no kidding.
She's going to give her thoughts about Tucker not wanting us to
Fox News's host, Tucker Carlson, is apparently a big hit in Russia right now. The website Mother Jones posted a leaked Kremlin war memo instructing Russian state media to play Tucker Carlson clips as much as possible. And Tulsi Gabbard is being accused of spreading Russian false flag propaganda. Here's what they've both been saying about the war. Take a look.
Democrats in Washington have told you you have a patriotic duty to hate Vladimir Putin. It's not a suggestion, it's a mandate. Anything less than hatred for Putin is treason. Hating Putin has become the central purpose of America's foreign policy. Secret biolabs? Like the secret biolabs Ukraine definitely doesn't have? Ukraine has those? Yes, it does.
There are 25 to 30 U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine. According to the U.S. government, these biolabs are conducting research on dangerous pathogens. Now, like COVID, these pathogens know no borders. If they are inadvertently or purposely breached or compromised, they will quickly spread all throughout Europe, the United States, and the rest of the world, causing untold suffering and death.
So Mitt Romney claims Gabbard is pushing treasonous lies that could cost lives. So I'm just going to open it up to the table. What the hell is going on?
So I think Mitt Romney is absolutely right, by the way. So what this is the Russians are spreading propaganda to try to create a pretext for potentially using chemical weapons against the Ukrainians.
Right.
So what they're parroting, what Tucker Carlson parrots every night on Fox News, what Tulsi Gabbard is spreading, is actually helping Putin get away with criminal acts against innocent Ukrainian civilians. It's horrifying. And what's so hard for me to understand, we've all been watching in horror as these people are being killed, mothers in maternity wings. Can you imagine taking the position of like, Putin, not so bad of a guy? It's just bizarre. It's un-American.
How do you suppose he gets away with that? I mean,
Rupert it's the Murdoch. Most watched man in cable news. It's actually a really scary.
Who gets away with it? Putin or Tucker Carlson? Tucker. If there's a Tucker and Laura Ingraham and Tulsi Gabbard.
Can you pause for one second?
Get away with having opinions?
First of all, Gabbard didn't talk about bioweapons. She talked about biolabs.
Right.
And by the way, she's in Congress, presumably, and, you know, I mean, there's Congress people who are certifiable, but presumably she knows from which she's talking that there are labs. Now, if there are labs.
Well, let me just jump in. Yeah. A woman, name escapes me, in that field was giving testimony
that
to
was
Congress.
The, in the beginning of the,
yes,
I think it was,
she was saying,
she's
yes,
the one who said.
We got labs.
Right. If Gary goes back to the beginning, that woman was giving testimony in Congress and saying that they're not bioweapons. They are bio labs. By the way, there is a difference. Now, mind you, if you're one who is saying that's Russian propaganda, what Tulsi Gabbard said, then please don't tell me that Chernobyl is a problem because the Russians have and the Ukrainians are there dealing with Chernobyl. Because
can I say this? The same people that are saying Tulsi Gabbard is Russian propaganda told me 10 minutes ago that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian. So pardon me for not listening with both ears when you bring up the Kremlin and what they're feeding us.
Well, I just look, and by the way, I know it also may be blasphemy for those of you, and I mention it, it seems like every show, because, you know, as you're getting fed, propaganda works both ways. I'm old enough to remember, and I've been talking about this with Adam, the Azerbaijanis were training in Ukraine, and you can't just say Russian, there was white phosphorus bombs used by the Azerbaijanis.
Well, so you're a Putin apologist now?
I'm apparently a
puppet,
Putin apologist.
You're taking the side of Putin?
Apparently I am, because if I articulate something that has been that the Azerbaijanis were there, having trained in Ukraine and attacking innocent Armenians in Artsakh, and the world didn't give a hoot. By the way, that appears to be a fact, but nobody wants to talk about that. Because, by the way, it undercuts a narrative.
Of course.
Right?
Play this out a little bit. Just
real quick.
To get to the part where they want him.
We will
jail.
Play it out, but real quick, I want to clean it up. My Google failed me. The woman who we were looking at the very beginning of the video is named Alyssa Farah Griffin. Here we go.
And she is the one who testified before Congress.
Right.
And what's her position so that we're clear here?
No, I'm talking about the new co-host of The View
that was on the screen before Whoopi.
They didn't give the woman who you're speaking to that was in the Tucker clip, they did not give her name.
I watched her on C-SPAN.
I did
and
too.
She's,
now, yeah. Look, here's the deal. This is tantamount to the CDC puts shit on their website. Then you get the information off the CDC website, and then you tweet it, and then you get pulled off of Twitter. It's like, look, your official sat in front of Congress and said they have labs.
Right.
And that's what Tulsi Gabbard said.
Right. She didn't say bioweapons. So let's just, I understand that you've got a narrative you want to tell. That's fine. But at least don't just change the facts.
Well, they want them silenced. So here we go.
Board of directors should really step in. If they call themselves patriots and they, you know, it's not enough to be posting flags about Ukraine. There's a bunch of folks on that board of directors list, like my friend Paul Ryan, mm-hmm. who I wish would be weighing in and saying we cannot be Russian state TV, at least not every hour.
But what's
I
guess for me, the question is, what is in it for someone like Tucker Carlson? Right.
Money?
Is it money?
It
who's paying
be.
Him that money?
Yeah.
I'm not making any allegations, but it's just
Putin.
It doesn't make sense that he would do this kind of thing. I mean, he also says that the United States helped encourage the Russian invasion. He said the United States engineered a coup in Ukraine in the name of democracy. He, as we just mentioned, confirmed these Russian claims about bioweapons. And he's characterizing this situation as a border dispute. right? And so what is in it for him? I know that he's visited Moscow and other places, and you can tell me in my ear if I'm wrong about that. But I just don't understand what the impetus is.
I do agree with Sonny. I don't understand what's in it. And by the way, that begs the question too at the same time. I mean, I do have that natural reaction, but also why can't we just deal with the statements and parse the statements?
Well, part of it is a counterweight to whichever way the popular wind is blowing. You know, he likes to bring up the alternative argument while everyone is going, we got to get over there and we got to arm everybody. We got to do everything.
Kind of, I feel that pain.
His basic thing is, you really want to go, let me tell you his thing. You want to go to Ukraine for a big protracted thing, another thing in a place that we never could find on a map. At some point, we're going to get knee deep into it, and that's what we're going to do. And meanwhile, our border with Mexico is pretty much wide open. Is that how you want to run a country?
And you know, what I take more greater offense at this idea that is being parroted. And we'll see in, 3, 4, 5 weeks, this idea that Russia has been defeated and that Ukraine has won. Obviously, once again, people have no memory, because I remember being fed a bull about Artsakh winning a war until they didn't 44 days later. And so I think people are being fed information that's not quite accurate.
All directions. I want to hear the end of that, though, Gary. Sorry, because that's the part I wanted to get to, is the part where they're saying he needs to be put in jail, essentially. It ends.
Welcome here for much longer.
I think.
Do his viewers like it?
I don't know. I
don't think the ratings have dropped at all. And look, I think that's an incredibly relevant question. Yeah. And I think DOJ, in the same way that it is setting up a task force to investigate oligarchs, should look into people who are Russian propagandists and shilling for Putin. That's being, if you are a foreign asset to a dictator, it should be investigated. In fact, I remember Tulsi Gabbard. And I even hate that we're discussing it, because I think to myself, who is this woman? She's she's no longer in Congress. She's a failed presidential candidate. Yep. She only practically exists on Twitter. And the fact that we're giving her oxygen is what makes her relevant, that we're talking about her on Hot Topics. But on the other hand, how do you not call out something that is repeating false Russian propaganda that has been brought down?
They used to arrest people for doing stuff like this if they thought you were colluding with a Russian agent, if they thought you were putting...
By the way, ladies
of the View adjudicate this whole situation. And
by the way, I remember wanting to support Whoopi when she was sidelined for saying something, and boy, I've got whiplash again from Whoopi now wanting to do exactly the hanging somebody on the petard she was hanging from.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Would you like these people... or their ilk, or the people with that mentality in charge of the DOJ?
Your Honor, I'd ask the court to thank and excuse Whoopi Goldberg from this jury.
I would, too. All right, last but not least, there's GEICO. Would you love to save a little money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance? Or for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condos, and renters insurance as well. It's all there. Save even more with the special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, you add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, and you can switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer, so just switch today and see how much money you could save at GEICO.com. All right, May 6th and 7th, Indianapolis, Indiana, Helium Comedy Club. I'm going to be doing my mirth there. And then Huntington Beach, we're doing a live podcast at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, May 20th. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the info, Mark.
Boy, if you're in New York City, get by Grand Central Terminal, the Prova Pizzeria. If you're in Times Square, the brand new Love Pizza. In the Moxie Hotel. If you're in Palm Springs, stop by Gigi's or Elixir. And if you're in the beautiful city of St. Clemente, Gary's home county, stop by Casa Tropicana in downtown L.A., 10E or Engine Company 28.
So until next time, Adam Crowe for Mark Garriga saying, mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free.
Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Boy, I sure would. Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, get this. Add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico is basically a no-brainer. So, switch today. See how you could save. Simply go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Alice.
And together we host a weekly true crime podcast called The Prosecutors.
In every episode, we bring our unique perspective as full-time prosecutors to the most famous and debated true crime mysteries. Whether it's Maura Murray, Scott Peterson, or the Delphi murders, Brett and I dig deep to bring you details you won't hear anywhere else.
Our podcast is about more than just a story. We will walk you through the legal problems lurking behind every case, breaking down the complexities of the criminal justice system with humor and a personal touch. And it's not just true crime. We bring the same training and approach we've learned as prosecutors to classic mysteries like the Dyatlov Pass incident and the ghost ship Mary Celeste.
So if you're looking for a true crime podcast with a different point of view, The Prosecutors is the one for you. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.